So in the spring of 1999, the Serbian president had started a campaign of ethnic cleansing against the ethnic Albanians in Kosovo. And it was causing hundreds and thousands of refugees to flee from Kosovo into the neighboring countries of Albania and Macedonia. I was a young program officer at the State Department's Refugee Bureau, and I had been in refugee situations before, but kind of the stable situations. And this was very different. But I was out there, you know, I knew the science of humanitarian assistance, the standards, the logistics, 15 liters of water per person per day, 2,100 kilocalories of food. I knew all of that. But there was something kind of invisible, an invisible mortar that holds it all together, that makes it more than a logistics operation and makes it actual humanitarian mission. And I didn't know what that was yet, because I knew the logistics and the science and the standards. Anyway, so I had deployed to Macedonia, and this was the first, what we call, holy shit, phase of a refugee crisis I had ever been in. People were coming across. There was not enough anything for anyone. And the first camp I had ever been in that I saw stood up from nothing was a camp called Chigrani. Now, Chigrani was only meant for 6,000 people, but at the height of the refugee crisis in Macedonia, it had nearly 60,000. Now, it wasn't just bad enough that there were all these people, but logistically, this was an impossible sight. Now, in a refugee situation, you don't get to pick the bit of land that you get to establish your refugee camp on. You get whatever the government gives you. And they give you the most logistically difficult piece of land that they have. Chigrani was up the steep side of a mountain. And from a distance, it looked like a ski slope because there were rows and rows of identical white tents that were stretching up to the top of this mountain. So I was out there in the early days of setting this camp up, and it was chaos. And people were coming at me from every direction. We need food. We need water. The latrines are overflowing. And the worst thing was, children were being separated from their families, not at the border, not because of the war, but because we had thousands of identical white tents that these children couldn't figure out how to get back to their families. As I was going through this camp, I had a crowd following me, yelling at me, and it was too much. I had to duck away and kind of catch my breath. So my translator and I ducked into this tent, and there was an old woman there. We introduced ourselves, and she told us where she had come from. She had two worn black and white photos of her family that she talked about and where they were. And after I kind of caught my breath and I knew I had to go back out to this crowd, I asked her what she needed. And she took my hands in her hands and she said, "I just want a hot cup of tea." And, you know, my brain started to think about the logistics. Like, we can't get water up this mountain. The latrines are overflowing. And I didn't understand the assignment. She was asking for something, some small measure of comfort and something that was familiar. And I was thinking about, like, getting water up the mountain. So I just said, I'll see what I can do. And I left the tent out to this crowd that was yelling at me. And I don't know if she ever got that cup of tea. Years later, I was in Jordan, teaching the Jordanian military about logistics and humanitarian assistance and, you know, 15 liters of water per person per day, 2,100 kilocalories, because they were starting to get a trickle of refugees from Syria, from the civil war that was going on in neighboring Syria. And one day, one of the officers I was working with asked if I wanted to go up to the border, because this trickle was turning into a surge, and they were expecting a lot of people that night. So I said, yeah, I'd love to see their operations. So we went up there. It was a very, very distant mountain, desert mountain, very isolated and remote, and the Jordanian military had set up a few tents up there for their operations. And this mountain overlooked a valley, and Syria in the distance, but the people were coming and kind of amassing in this valley and waiting until nightfall to kind of make that last push up the mountain to get to the Jordanian side. And in the meantime, the Syrian army was firing mortars at them to try to prevent them from getting to reaching the Jordanian outpost. So as night fell, you started to hear the mortars. You didn't just hear them, you felt them. They were so close. And when it was dark, you could see in the distance the silhouettes of the Jordanian soldiers kind of gently pulling people up over the lip of this cliff and then walking them to this little tent. And I thought I knew what I would see in that tent because, you know, if it were an American operation, we would have metal detectors and we would do fingerprints and check the terrorist vetting list. But as we ducked into this tent, the Jordanian officers were giving everyone a small sandwich and a hot cup of tea. And for the first time in years, I remembered the woman in the tent in Chagrani camp in Macedonia. And I thought, how extraordinary that the Jordanians met these people on the worst day of their lives, the day when they left their homes and their country, and they met them with that small gesture of welcome and an acknowledgement of shared humanity. And I often thought about those people later on, like when they finally got to a refugee camp in Jordan, like the chaos and the tents and the food and the blankets, they probably didn't remember any of that. But I always hoped they would remember that hot cup of tea, because I do. Thanks.